Prisoner of the ways of native language and storytelling, of religion and ceremonies, of dance, of art and handwork, and of traditional crop growing and wild plant gathering, her handwork has often been the most visible presentation of native culture to the world. We see her beadwork, baskets, quilts, leatherwork, corn huts work, and traditional regalia. Being a keeper has meant preserving and reviving native ways. This has been a constant struggle as the culture has been confronted and repressed by European institutions in Ontario. Emily Nicholas, an elder of the Oneida Reserve and a corn husk worker, remembers her experiences in residential school where native language was forbidden and where living conditions were oppressive. Lillian Williams, a bead worker from Chippewas of Sarnia, experienced confusion about her identity as soon as she entered non-Native society. In addition to the impact of religious and educational institutions, the Native way of life has been altered by the historical land acquisitions by Europeans and government control. Keepers of the ways have decreased in numbers. Some traditions have been completely lost in some communities. While some skills were lost, others were changed. Glass beads from Czechoslovakia changed the look of beadwork. In some cases, such as quilting, Native women learned new skills, bringing to their own sense of color and design. For many women, the revival of powwow stirred greater awareness of their traditions. Some, like Mary Wideye, a bead worker and Moravian of the Thames, came to it as a child. Others, like Cheryl Snake of Muncie, of the Thames, came to it as adults. Traditional skills have been maintained in some families, handed down from mother to daughter. Linda Elijah is being taught the art of black ash basketry by her mother, Katie Sickles, one of the last of the basket makers in this part of Ontario. Linda's daughter Jeanette is beginning to learn as well. She has also written an award-winning essay on the work done by her grandmother and mother. Others learn their skills by traditions from significant elders. Bead workers Carolyn Oliver and Jean Stonefish both learn from their elders. Revival of lost customs and skills has come from a cultural resurgence, which has been fueled by the desire of individuals and communities to hold on to who they are. Native language teacher Mercy Dogstater works at Standing Stone School on Oneida Reserve and sees language preservation and acquisition as a center of the culture. At Namron Friendship Center in London, Dorothy Kennedy teaches native language classes to adults. Sweetgrass Enterprises supports the effort of language teachers and the increased demand for instruction to its program to develop material for language curriculum. At Moravian of the Thames Reserve, a highly successful project to revive the cultivation of Indian corn was established. Arnett Timothy, the project's founder, says they came to the proposal by combining the needs for economic development and the desire to do work that flowed from the history and identity of the reserve. Both on and off reserve programs and centers exist as resource to the community. At Walpole Island, the cultural center is multi-purpose. It serves as a source of supplies to the artists and craftspeople, as well as an outlet for workers to market their work. They have a collection of written and audiovisual material on Native people. A museum area to exhibit artifacts and current work is currently being developed to facilitate a sharing of skills within the reserve and with other communities. They offer frequent workshops. In London, Namron Friendship Center offers a wide range of programs to meet the needs of urban Indians, as well as working in cooperation with area reserves. There is a heavy support from women in planning and attending native language programs, workshops in traditional medicine and art and powwows and other features as feasts. One of the most major annual events is the Art Festival held each May. Rosemary Albert has been one of the organizers. In all of these individual and community efforts, Native women play a significant role. They are filling the classes and workshops, and producing both quality and quantity in handwork, and are hearts of many programs. Arnett Timothy shares her view. But conditions are often difficult for the keepers. Material are not easily accessible. Emily Nicholas finds it hard to get husks due to the modern agricultural methods in which the entire corn plant is harvested, leaving the fields barren. In the old days, stalks were left standing in the fields. Her age also makes it difficult for her to do any physical work required to gather the husks. For Katie Sickles and Linda Elijah, black ash basket makers, the problem is finding mature black ash trees. There is little black ash in this area. They must receive permission from landowners and other reserves to cut them down. Sweetgrass, another material used in basketry, was once plentiful in this area, but has disappeared due to agriculture and urbanization. Denise Beeswax is thankful for the gift left by her grandmother. For bead workers like Audrey Wilson, Cindy Sands, and Carolyn Oliver, it is the cost and availability of goods, quality beads, that can limit their work. Still others have desire to learn and have no one to teach them. Art Eye Crafts, a Toronto-based organization, is providing funding for craft workshops of 20 or more. They will cover the cost of materials and the instructor's fee. They are also compiling a list of natives involved in the arts and establish a workshop. For other women, such as Suzanne Reitman of Chippewas of Sarnia, they must juggle the demands of education and outside jobs of Native society. Susan uses her beadwork and leatherwork to help her stay grounded with herself and her Native identity, while she is taking training with computers at a community college. Balancing time is most difficult. While there is much movement in southwestern Ontario towards reclaiming their heritage, Native women have expressed the urgency of holding on to the treasures that exist in their history, culture, art within themselves. They are holding on for their own sakes, for that of their people, but mostly for their children. The beauty of their work is in their legacy of the children. They must juggle the demands of education and jobs outside Native society. Susan uses her beadwork and leatherwork to help her stay grounded with herself and her Native identity while she is taking training with computers at a community college. Balancing time is most difficult. While there is much movement in southern Ontario towards reclaiming their heritage, Native women have expressed the urgency of holding on to the treasures that exist to their history, culture, art, and within themselves. They are holding on for their own sake, for that of their people, but mostly for their children. The beauty of their work is their legacy and their children.